Look in my eyes for my mind state. I'm on the grind 25A. Money on my mind, that's how I play. If you got it now, this what I say.
Going live.
It was one on the topic. It was on the topic. It was on the topic because it was talking about why you shouldn't drink any hot tea or anything from on plane. It was about flight attendants.
Is this true?
She wasn't listening.
I was not. I'm trying to flip it around. I've never done this. Okay.
She is. Okay. We're going for everybody tuning in watching now, we're going to get to folks over here, the guests of the evening.
Yeah.
We are going to apologize right now. We were supposed to have WWE Hall of Famer Road Dogg on the show tonight, but you know, the scheduling with NXT going live weekdays on Wednesday nights on the USA Network now. Scheduling changes up. Road Dogg's one of the head writers on NXT, so when the job calls, gotta go running. But we are back with some fill-in guests that came through in the clutch for us on an emergency. We got Joaquin Wild and this lovely lady, hotshot Becky over here.
Yeah, these are big shoes to fill, Road Dogg, man. What a disappointment you hit Joaquin Wild. You expected Road Dogg, but you get Joaquin Wild.
No, hey. You get WWE family people.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
We appreciate it in the family.
I love you.
I mean, we still get some people outside of here, but that's neither here nor there. We just appreciate you coming through in the clutch like you did. Like I said, I didn't want to wake him up out of his slumber while he was like resting and had his slippers on his boxers. He was like, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna come on Sports City Podcast for y'all." So, boom, thank you for coming through. Ooh, like every episode, we're gonna go through the hosts of the show. We got TZ over there.
What's good, everybody?
He's in the house this week.
TZ Scott, I am here. Everything is good. I am back. I will get into my soliloquy in a second, but I'm glad to be back.
Stephen A. Smith over here.
Soliloquy, right?
Yeah.
Got to talk and watch the first thing. glad to be back, y'all. At TZ Scott on everything, Instagram, Twitter, things of that nature. You know, first, I want to say thank you guys for holding it down last week. Had some personal things to give you a brief synopsis on what's going on. You know, I had to make a few phone calls. You know, had some personal things going on, some personal demons. And I want to tell anybody out there that if you have anybody you need anybody to talk to, you know, reach out. Please reach out. Call your friends, family. If you need to seek professional help, do that. I believe that is something that definitely needs to be spoken on more for a lot of people. You know, you never know what someone's going through, but, you know, persevere. I'm here. I get my help from my therapist every other Friday, so it helps me with things going on in my life. You know, there's a lot going on in the brother life that I don't speak on. So, you know, make sure you guys reach out to people if you do need the help as well. Also, I'm going on a Cypher tour.
Ooh,
where I will be going to local places in the state of Florida, only on weekend dates, and going to local, meeting a couple friends who are artists, are going to local bars, clubs, stuff like that that we have bookings for, and just going to go rock the mic.
Real grind.
Do about 10, 15 minute sets a piece, and this is what we used to do in high school. We had a lot of fun doing it. So I will get the dates and everything announced from the Patreon, Snapchat, everything for Sports City Podcast. Let you guys know if you're in the respective area to come out. Also, really quick, we just released a trailer to TZ's Table on the YouTube, youtube.com/SportsCityPodcast. And look at the logo right there, Sports City Podcast.
If you
subscribe to the channel. You know, definitely have some information with that. You guys will be hearing very, very soon the first episode from me and Miss Samoa Johnson back
what's
there.
Come on, get
on the floor.
On the floor.
She's back there.
With the Birkenstock socks on the feet. With the socks.
With the socks.
Shuby. Rocket Power reference.
A lot is happening.
Speaking of a lot is happening, we just dropped the Patreon. Boom, Swerve City Patreon now. You can subscribe to on patreon.com/forcingpodcast. And while we're on that matter, let's shout out the new subscribers to the podcast. We got Jesse Lucas. Thank you for subscribing to the Swerve City Patreon. Lisa Wright and Carlito V. Thank you guys so much. We got more content coming to you very soon. And there's going to be more stuff going on. Also, check out our Snapchat, Swerve City Pod. We always releasing the extra content on there. See what's going on behind the scenes before we start the show, after, during, you don't know. So just keep checking it out. You can rock with us pretty much on every social media platform you want to. And Big Swole just came back from the UK. Talk about it. UK.
Yeah. I went there for a Riptide.
Riptide.
Yeah, boom. Yeah. Big shout out to Riptide. Big shout out to Brighton.
First main event ever on Riptide Wrestling promotion right here versus Will Ospreay. Check it out. Boom. Keep going.
It's about you.
It's your
time. It's my time.
It's about
you.
Can
I talk about my
accomplishments?
It's about
you. Reclaim your time.
Reclaim your time. I'm reclaiming my time.
Just about what you did on the weekend.
Wait. What I did on the weekend is I went to Riptide, and I finished it.
I had a good time.
I had a great time. My weekend actually first started with, I had an amazing match against Tessa Blanchard at Nerd Street. So we finally kilted. We've been training since pretty much day one together. So it's the first time we ever touched.
Like 2000 what?
2014.
Okay.
2014. Damn. Yeah. So I had that, and then I went to Brighton, and I pretty much, I guess, took Shakara to her limits. She was a very naughty little girl when I first got there. You know, she was mean. She was trying to cheat and everything. You know, I don't like cheaters. So I broke her down.
I heard they never prosper.
They don't.
Did they in this match?
They didn't. Because I won.
You won that. You
I won.
Dang thing.
I won that. And then I challenged her the next day for the next day. I was like, oh, well, how about you not cheat and you give me your best? It was sort of that wasn't sugar, honey, iced tea. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So, move on to the second day. And, man, she got me. But it's okay, though. Because there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And it was the first time people cried. And the whole locker room came from the back. And they, like, clapped or whatever. So it was my first, like, yeah, I did something. And she was awesome.
I'm proud.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
proud.
You.
That's what's up.
That's the soldier holding the bag for us in the UK.
Yeah.
And you said there's some Swerve City Podcast fans over there at Riptide?
Yes.
And UK?
Yes, they came up to me and they were like, oh, they're huge fans of the podcast. Yeah. So a huge shout out to all the fans out in Brighton.
You told them to subscribe!
They did.
Okay.
They do. Good. They do subscribe. So
I'm proud. I'm happy again. Yeah. I was upset, now I'm happy again. Now, without further ado, we're going to go over here to the guest of the evening, my man Joaquin Wild over there. I've known this man for years. Only got to wrestle like 2 times ever.
Once was a cage match, I
believe. Okay. A cage match in an abandoned mall in Virginia.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I ever met you, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But it's funny, like when I first seen your work, it was the 2 out of 3 falls match you had at RCW in Maryland with Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that DVD. I actually bought that DVD, and it's actually over there in the living room.
No way. Yeah, you know what? I hit up the RCW like management recently, and I asked them for a copy.
Recently?
Yeah. Recently, as in like 2 or 3 years ago. But but I did hit them up and ask them for a copy of that match, because I remember it fondly. And you know how it is sometimes, like, sometimes you don't want to watch a match back because you like remember it so fondly, and you kind of want to preserve that memory of how good you thought it was. And then, you know, sometimes you watch it back and be like, oh man, that wasn't as good as I thought. That was like one of the few times for me anyway that I was like, dude, this match was like just as good as I remember it.
I love having that feeling.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it very often, but like,
if you don't get it back, man, I got the DVD right there. So you can take that with you, man.
I appreciate it.
But yeah, that was like when I first like became familiar with Zema Ion himself at the time. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. This thing is crazy. Like, so I've been a fan of yours for years, and I wish we would have grappled more often.
Oh, don't worry. There's still plenty of time.
Now, seeing where we at.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're going to get sick of each other.
Yeah.
But
I look forward to getting sick of you.
Yes. And we have Becky Hotshot, the lovely lady.
Hotshot.
Hotshot. Yes. I call you Hotshot now.
That's his mom calls me that now.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Becky's gone now. We don't do Becky's. We do Hotshots.
I know. It's my last name, so I gotta go with it.
You know, I completely understand about the whole name change. Sometimes you gotta give it up.
Identity changes much. All right. So, where do we start with this whole thing? Because I don't want to do the whole normal. Like, yeah. When did you start wrestling, young buck? What year was it? And where did you get? Who got you into wrestling?
And where I was at, it was sold out every time.
They don't do it like we did back in the day. Oh, we used to.
Back mid Atlantic, I wrestled for a hot dog with a spray.
Actually,
and I was extra for ketchup. 10 cents.
But let's actually start with. I know you started with. You were a journalism major in school.
In college, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What school you go to?
I went to West Virginia University. Ooh. Yeah, which had a reputation. I think it still does. It was like the biggest party school in the nation.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that, very much so.
They like to burn couches. That was like a favorite pastime at WVU. Like legit set couches on fire for no reason at all, just because it was the weekend, you know? So it was not uncommon to like be driving. Driving down the street and see like burning couches. Like,
what was your major?
It was advertising. Like now looking back on it, I wish I would have did like broadcast news because I think that would have translated well for wrestling. But
yeah, facts.
But like,
advertising is still pretty good though.
Yeah, I mean, it's still good. But I mean, I guess anybody that's trying to go to college and trying to do wrestling at the same time, I would recommend doing broadcast news as a major just because there's so many parallels. You know, live TV, like basically cutting promos.
Yeah, I wish I would have done theater.
Yeah, dude, that's another one too. I wish I would have done more of that. But you know,
it helps to be a thespian.
Yeah, I did improv these classes like right before I moved down here.
We have soliloquy, not thespian. I don't. Who are you?
Yeah, these are big ones. Yeah. I can't even spell soliloquy. Can you?
I can barely say it.
The first time I heard it was Stephen A. Smith.
He's like soliloquy.
Teaser, you never said that before.
Don't fail me, Webster. Don't fail me.
So advertising. What? So did what brought your love to wrestling? Actually, from was it before school or during school?
Oh yeah, I mean, me and wrestling is like kind of a funny journey. I watched it when I was like real small, but I watched all kinds of stuff. I watched basketball. I liked music, so I watched MTV. Like it was just one of many different interests, and I kind of fell out of it growing up and. It sounds funny, but it was like Attitude Era, the Divas. Like, that's what made me get back into wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't have that story of like, I watch.
Shout out to you for keeping it real.
Like, most people wouldn't give that type of answer, but
It's my story, you know? Like, I didn't grow up watching Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero. It was literally my friends on the football team saying, yo, man, you got to start watching Raw. Deborah's going to show these puppies.
All right. Now I have to ask. Favorite diva wrestler?
Trish Stratus. Like, all time, Trish Stratus. Yeah.
All right. Okay, outside of her.
Outside of
it's like saying, favorite basketball player, Michael Jordan. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but that was my answer. I guess, other than her, like, I'd probably have to say Deborah just because, like, that was the one that, like, my friends were talking about, and they're like, no, man, you gotta tune in.
Put on that tiger skin. Yeah. It was a wrap.
So, but, like, as my thirst grew each week that I watched Raw, I started getting into, like, the storylines, too, and then, like, the wrestling, of course, then I did the whole thing where you flip back and forth, Nitro and Raw, you know? So, then I became, like, a real like wrestling fan after all that, and it just one thing led to another, you know what I'm saying? And here we are.
Shot, did you have any exposure to wrestling when you were growing up?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wait. Yes. My brother's 13 months younger than me, and he's currently like, he just came back from Afghanistan, I think 2 days ago.
Salute the troops.
Yeah, he's been there 4 times already, but I used to get tombstoned like 24/7 and choke slammed on the mattress. Like,
it's funny. We do first. We do.
No, yeah. Right? Anything he saw, it was just, we had a try. So it was fun.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So it's funny how y'all did. The love for wrestling that carried y'all?
Oh, dude, I'll tell you how we met. So,
before you do, so if y'all want to get in tune in the info on how Shot met Michael or Joaquin or however we want to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a lot of names.
Yes. Yeah.
We all do at this point.
That means that we're about to leave.
Yes, we're going to have to subscribe to the Swerve City Podcast on YouTube. YouTube.com/SwerveCityPodcast.
See ya. See ya, Fee.
Subscribe. And subscribe to the Patreon.
Patreon and the Snapchat.
And the Snapchat. Yeah. Follow what we're doing. And if you're not, you should already be following us on Instagram, Swerve City Podcast Official, and on Twitter, Swerve City Pod. Let's get it.
Peace.
Hope y'all know how to end this.
End now.
Okay, cool. End video, share the story. Boom.
Share
now
the story.
Now we can get into the nit grit of it all. So.
Yeah, so.
Boom.
Lay it on me.
Lowered expectations. Let's go.
So she was already training to be a wrestler when I met her.
Interesting.
She was training at IWC. And
shout out IWC. Man, love that
place. And,
Do you really?
At the time?
Are you just messing with me?
No,
you know, you've actually heard of it?
Yeah.
You wrestled there.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you're trolling.
Yeah, I wrestled Elias at IWC.
Fun.
Yes.
He's so nice.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's trained in IWC, and the Super Indie tournament happened that year, and I was in the tournament. And after my match, I came out to, like, watch the rest of the show. And I sat on this, like, bleacher where, like, a lot of the wrestlers were, like, kind of, like, creeping in the background and watch the show. And she was just sitting there, and I'm sitting next to her, and she tells me that everybody told her if she wanted to learn how to be a high flyer that she needed to come train with me. And
not
I'm like, and I was like, okay, well, I live in Chicago. I don't live in Pittsburgh. She's like, I'm a flight attendant. I can fly to Chicago whenever I want. And
I said it just like that.
Right?
I'm going to get to Chicago. Watch.
Well.
Yeah. And then I honestly didn't think that she was that serious. Like, I kind of thought, oh, this little girl that probably just was watching Total Divas and then decided, like, oh, let me try this wrestling thing.
Get some of those.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, she was that type. So I was like, all right, I'm not actually going to hear from this girl. And, like, 2 weeks later, she's like, hey, I'm in Chicago. Let's train.
What?
It's actually 4 days.
You were demanding
later.
Of this.
It
That's
was
good.
4 days.
Like
4 days.
4 days later.
She said it was four.
Actually. Because I'm based in Chicago. So that's where I go to work. Like, that's my commute is Pittsburgh, Chicago. And I'm going to work.
O'Hare.
Yeah. So it was, like, pretty funny. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. I guess this girl's training. And we're doing very, like, serious traditional Lucha Libre class, which can be, like, a very, like, weird world to get into if you're, like, just starting out as, like, American-style pro wrestling, because it's just so different than anything that she may have already experienced. So I was like, man, how's this going to go? She's only been training 3 months, coming to Lucha Libre class. We pick her up from the train station, and within, like, 2 minutes, she's going, like, just so you guys know, I'm not going to sleep with either of you.
We're like, what? Like, damn.
Yeah.
Like,
we just on the
table. I'm not here to hook up or, like, I'm here to learn. Like, just so you guys aren't going to be, like, creeps and just.
Yeah, it was like those memes that are, like, nobody. Absolutely nobody. Hot shot. I'm not sleeping with any of you.
I know.
And then
I'm not
next
here to
meme, SpongeBob. All right, I'm heading out.
A few moments later.
Yeah, right? And then I was like, challenge accepted.
I know.
And here we
are.
You know that brings the flies? That attracts the flies more?
I had no intentions.
That's what she says. That's what she says.
All you did was come into the car covered in honey, expecting the like, hey.
Could have just left that part out.
No, it's funny.
But that's what reels them in.
No, oh, man.
I know.
She killed it in the lucha class. That was the craziest part was, like, we get there and, like, I'm sure, like, a lot of the other guys, I don't know, but a lot of them were probably, like, looking at her and thinking, like, dude, what is going on here? Like, is this girl going to slow class down? Is she going to keep up?
She's
like,
smoking the dudes.
And, like, she not only did she keep up with everything, but at the very end when it's just kind of open ring or whatever, dudes were doing some pretty, like, next-level stuff, like Christopher Daniels' best moonsault ever.
Yeah.
And she just goes, like, I want to try that. And everyone's like, you know, like, that seems kind of dangerous. Without even, like, walking through it, she just, like, goes up to the rope, bing, bam, boom, hits it perfect. The whole place goes crazy.
You filmed it, which
I did.
Awesome.
I did film it, so we have that moment
it was
still.
So dope.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Can we have that footage?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Just that's saying. So crazy.
Makes sense. Yeah. Because that's awesome. Well, like, I always see at shows, a lot of us run to him because he always has all this footage of, like, awesome wrestling maneuvers and sequences that we're just like, oh, this is awesome. Mike, let me see your phone. Like, he always has a library of stuff.
Yeah.
Tons.
So, like, I know, like, there's going to be a lot of him, a lot of you in there. And I want all of it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting. It's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I have to do that because I'll forget. Like, I watch so much wrestling that if I don't record a clip of whatever I thought was cool, like, I know I'm just going to forget about it.
The same way I have a whole story. Like,
Do you guys have, like, notes where you, like, tried to write down an idea, but then you, like, revisit it, and you can't even, like, decipher what you were trying to say?
Like, you have no idea what you
mean. Yeah, like, dude, that's me.
Like, it's weird now. I'm in a spot in, like, in my mind in the wrestling world. I don't write anything down. I don't remember anything. I literally create on the spot. Like,
yeah,
I've been in matches.
That's awesome.
I've been in matches where, like, I've created something right then and there in the ring. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, and then I like it that way because I know it's organic and I didn't get it from anywhere else.
Yeah.
I knew it just came to me there.
Yeah, that reminds me, there was something you did in your match with Gulak on 205 Live that I think I asked you about the next day and I was like, I'd never seen that before. And you told me you just came up with it.
That happens a lot. And it's like a lot of people like wrap their brains around like going through stuff and like, oh man, I need to come up with this. I've been watching this for like weeks to prepare for this. I'm like, no, figure something out.
Yeah.
And it just happens. And I don't know where that came from. Like, everybody's different and stuff, but, like, I feel like it's so much more difficult for what you're doing. I think that's what made you, like, to me, I think you're one of the best luchadors, and you don't even wear a mask. You're one of the best luchadors in the world.
Thanks, bro.
Like, seriously, like, the stuff that you've come up with, I've seen, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah.
Dude, back in Chicago, watch those shows, I'm like, there's no way. No way. I'll never forget you and Bandido.
Oh,
my God. Blew my mind. Like, and we don't promote other promotions here, but you should definitely go watch AEW. Check out him versus Bandido for the Heritage title in Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
That show was, the first of that show was already stacked.
Yeah.
I think earlier it was me and Keith Lee versus Desmond.
Jack.
So I think you're all on that same one, yeah.
Yeah, that was the hard thing about those AAW shows is they would stack the cards with like the who's who of independent wrestling, and the crowd was hot, so everybody was trying to kill it. And it's like if you're at like match 8 or 9, it's like, man, you're in a tough spot because the crowd's seen like all the best wrestling ever, you know.
Yeah.
But it kind of made me a better wrestler because, like you said, I had like a title match, so they put me like towards the end.
Yeah, you were like 6,
and it's like
I think you were before intermission or something.
Yeah, but it's like when you're on later on those cards, I think it makes you a better wrestler because it's either like I'm gonna step up to the challenge, you know, or am I just gonna fail? Like I ain't failing. So
when that happens, how do you stay fresh? Like what do you do then?
See, that's why I watch so much wrestling. I think I'm always coming up with ideas, like based on my opponent too, like. If I'm wrestling Bandido that night, I'm going to go back and watch a bunch of Bandido throughout the week to start getting some ideas of what me and him could possibly do together. And, I think that's a good approach sometimes.
I feel like that's a lost art. Most people don't watch tape on their opponents beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why are you just going in blind?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you should at least know some semblance of their moveset, so, you know.
But now it's funny because now we're on a fixed roster. We're not going to wrestle anybody else. We see each other every week.
Yeah,
that's where your creativity is really like producing itself to another level now.
I think it's come from that, like just being on those stacked cards and having to go so late.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it prepared us in some ways.
Yeah,
because
like I know, like you can look at most matchups on the card and be like, I know what they're going to do. I know where the direction this is going to go. I know what kind of they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the people, you ask them and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I'll sit and I'll like organically come up with stuff. That's because I know it's not going to be seen earlier.
I feel like that gives you more an edge because everybody else, you'll know exactly what they do. And, like, sometimes that's, like a hindrance to them and they don't even know it.
Yeah, you don't want to be predictable.
Like, you don't want to be predictable. Yeah, yeah. But
and
I feel like
you also get caged and stuck in that idea
right. If
you do that sometimes. That, like, once again, like, I feel like Mike can, like, maneuver around that kind of stuff. But,
yeah,
like,
I try.
Like... yep, man. But like, does that happen in music as well too?
Yes, it does. I think like when it comes to, especially if you're collaborating with someone, that it's naturally better to have like an understanding
of
who you're naturally working with. Because if you don't, and you just kind of just go in the studio with someone, you have no idea the kind of artist they are, and you're just playing music, you could really get in a creative rut. So it's always better to, like, I always believe that you work with somebody who's better than you in as far as musically. And I also believe the same thing of also knowing the person that you're working with as an artist. The music always comes out better that way.
Hey, can I ask you a question about music?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
What if he said no?
That would have been funny if he would have said no. Like, damn.
But nah, I'm trash.
It's been a long day.
It's gonna cost you.
Okay, so I make beats, right? And I got really serious about it in like 2016, where I was like, yo, I'm gonna like go hard with the music, you know, I'm gonna get some rappers on my beats, like I'm gonna try to start like promoting this as a thing, right?
Right.
Now the problem is I like don't know anybody in the rap game at all at the time, is what I'm saying. So like I don't know anybody. I don't know how this process works, especially over the internet, you know what I'm saying? And I tried to like just kind of figure it out on my own. And tell me if my etiquette was correct or incorrect in this following story I'm about to tell you. Sure. Just because I'm not sure. To this day, I've never asked anybody.
I'm with you, bro.
Okay, so there was a rapper. Now, this rapper is a major rapper. Like, and at the time, he was like just kind of building his name up. And like we had been talking through DM, right? And I asked him, I was like, yo, do you want to do a verse on my track? I sent him the track. He liked it. And I was like, yeah, how much do you want for a verse? And he goes, whatever you think's fair. I don't know what's fair. Like, I don't know. For like a 16-bar verse and the guy's not like really popping yet? I'm like, I don't know. $100? So I like PayPal him $100. And then he's like, yo, man, not to be funny, but you gotta send more bread. And I'm like, oh, man, okay. And I was like, well, what do you got in mind? I don't know. So he's like, send me like two more. So I'm like stressing because I sent him 200 more. And I'm with Robbie E. at the time. And Robbie's like, what are you doing? Like, you don't know this guy. Like, this is like a real street dude. Like, he might have just slicked you for like $300 and you don't even know. And that just got me more paranoid. And I'm just like, oh man, I'm never gonna get this verse. Like, what have I done? I couldn't get a receipt or nothing for this. So weeks go by, and like every week he's like, I'll have it to you this weekend. Another weekend goes and doesn't happen. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, I'm like stressing. After like a month, I actually get the verse back. So I got one verse from him, but I had my boy that was gonna do a verse on it too. So then I just put dude's verse in, like first verse, and then my boy did the second verse, and I released the track. And I don't know if that was like the right etiquette or not. Should I have like sent him the whole track first and been like, hey man, I know you were like kind of difficult to work with a little bit, but this is the track? Or do you think I was right to just, okay, I paid you, you did the verse, I can release it however it is, you know? should I have let him hear the other verse first? You know what I'm saying? Because I think the reason he didn't promote my track was because my boy went harder in the second verse. So I thought maybe he didn't put it over.
This sounds like the T.I. Ludacris stomped verse, James.
Okay. One, you didn't do anything wrong with your approach.
Okay.
There was nothing wrong. There is no book of code on how you approach rappers, because a lot of times, a lot of them are fully you-know-what. And the best thing to do is just be straight to the point like you was. Sent the bread, get it back. Rappers have terrible personalities. I'm one of the few that's like a nice guy. But if you find that, you know, what you did do though is you came straight forward with the money. You paid him. You waited for the service. Obviously, your boy is probably hungrier.
Yeah, you know, of course.
He got nothing to lose.
Yeah, it was a big opportunity
and
for him.
He knew Soul Souls on the track.
Yeah,
the other guys like this were probably written there and wrote it. Now, a mistake. My suggestion: I do not do any collaborations with anyone that's not promoting the record.
Gotcha.
Do not collab with anyone that doesn't promote the song.
Should I have like said that from the beginning? Like, hey man.
Yes. Make sure if you do that, like in the future with anyone, big name, like, look, are you going to promote this? Are you going to retweet this, or like look, if we could work out some kind of deal, because a lot of times they try to bigly, like, well, I'm gonna get this quick 500, and then, you know, they don't promote the record. It's always better for you with your investment to make sure that they promote the record.
There's another reason like that, because say they do make it somewhere, they do blow up or whatever, you have like,
you have that resume, you have the credentials. You have the
Instead of like the music just lost in like the alternate zone or whatever.
So that experience was so stressful that I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to go back. Music,
no. Nah, you're right. I mean, just, you know, like if you reach out to someone who's about to pop or something and you do have something, just make sure they promote it, bro.
Yeah.
Just be like, look, bro, I'm at least retweet it, bro. Comment, retweet. I don't care if you retweet with comment and put arrows down. Just make sure it's on your social media so that I can get something out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Lessons learned. Thank you.
No problem.
See, I'm just dipping my toe in the music industry.
At least you got help. Right.
And that's the reason why I don't like venture outside of my own. Like, hey, I'm going to go to this studio with this engineer, work with this dude.
Yeah.
And then, like, it doesn't get the same vibe that I have with him.
Yeah, I don't like recording now if it's not with him. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Wow. It's just not, you know, it's like, I'm like the old jaded wrestler you guys talk about. Well, back in my, these lyrics here aren't as, nah, but, you know, being with him is like, I would wrote it like this. No, but being with him is like, it's like when you do, like, imagine you being like, in your field for so long, like you being a wrestler and you just trying not to get to that point where you just like creatively just out of it.
Yeah.
I was doing it so long that I was just like, oh my God.
He's getting burnt out.
I was getting burnt out, but I got with him and he has a whole different wiring for me musically. So learning from somebody else has actually helped me, and you hear it in my music now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I definitely can understand that. Let me ask you a question. You know, with DJ, because I have no idea how that goes.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to learn that? Was you self-taught? Did you learn from somebody? Or?
Man, so there was all kinds of stuff. I tried to, like, teach myself in the beginning, and I just didn't have any fundamentals. And, like, you'd think, well, this was a few years ago, maybe like 6-7 years ago, you'd think there would have been a lot of stuff on YouTube. 7 years ago, not really. Now, I feel like you could learn how to DJ just solely off YouTube because there's so many tutorials and, like, people that are willing to share information, but 7 years ago, not so much. So, like, I tried to teach myself a little bit and it just wasn't working out because I didn't know what I was doing. So I actually did have some DJs in Washington, D.C., like, kind of show me the ropes for a little bit, and they kind of got me started with the fundamentals. And then, honestly, most of my experience just came from, like, DJing parties and clubs after that, and just, like, trial and error, like, when something went wrong, learning from it and then, like, trying to fix that mistake the next time, you know? So it's like with wrestling, like, you get better and more comfortable each match that you have. Right. I found DJing to be very similar. It was like each party, each club that I played, I got a little bit better each time, a little bit more prepared, a little bit more knowledgeable. And I thought the craziest part about it was the parallels, because it's all about reading a crowd, DJing, much like wrestling, you know, like feeling the audience when they say that. It's right. Like same thing. Like I might be playing like some like trap music or something, and if the energy in the room is not like feeling it, then I need to be a professional and like change it up and figure out what this crowd likes, and then once I find it, then we just go all in on that.
Now, to furthermore go into this question, you have these DJs now, like, oh, I saw pictures of you, man, you got, you know, both turntables, you're doing your thing. But what do you think about the DJs that are like now, like they kind of go on tour and they're just like pressing a button? And they're like, and they're not even like mixing, they just got their iPad.
So pretty much you're like, are you a purist?
Yeah, basically. Like,
so I mean, like, yeah. Like, I was fortunate that like the guys that taught me how to DJ were like Red Bull 3 style, like DJ champions and stuff. So it gave me a respect for like the DJ culture and everything. And the guys that press the buttons, like, it really depends. Sometimes there's reasons for it. Like, I know, like, the big festivals and stuff like that, like, well, they have to do that because the lighting and the visuals on the screens are synced to the music. So sometimes they have to pre-plan the set out just for the cues for the lighting and the video screens. So, yeah, I don't know every DJ's, like, I guess, approach to it, but I have heard that that is a reason.
Yeah, I'll be, like, on Instagram, and I'll be seeing people, like,
Shaq.
No, Shaq. Don't disrespect Shaq.
Hey, you know what? We will not have any Diesel slander on this show.
Yo.
I'm not paying anybody.
She said it.
When you see Shaq front row at a freaking concert with everybody else, he is 7 foot everything, and everybody else is like normal people size, and he's shaking water, going nuts. You respect that man.
I love Shaq for that.
How much of this these guys are making? I'm like, wow, this dude.
I feel like, I feel like being a trusted DJ is like a show.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And being a purist DJ, that's like an art.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
You got it.
Like that's like the difference.
You got it. And like a lot of the DJs too, a lot of them are actually music producers, and them DJing is kind of like their way to get touring money off of their singles and stuff like that. You know.
Furthermore, to go back to backtrack a second, whatever happened to the record where you paid the guy? Why don't you release it now?
it's released. It's on SoundCloud and everything like that.
Well, I'm gonna need that later.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, give it to us. We're gonna review it.
Yeah. I'm nervous now, guys.
I'm ready to see this new artist get bodied by your homeboy.
But hey, you still got that beat. I need remix.
I'm gonna be like, ooh, I'm attacked too. Like, ooh, you got bodied on this track. What happened to this kid,
Kimbo? Oh, I see why you ain't retweet this.
Right. Trash Ola.
That's the old me. Well, what music you listening to now? Nowadays.
Dude, I'm so like out of the loop, I feel like.
Everybody's hearing it.
I don't know why. I was just having this conversation with another DJ a couple weeks ago. Yeah, that's what we were saying. I was like, maybe I'm just not into like the newer stuff right now. Maybe that's
what
it is.
What happens when you get older.
Yeah. That maybe it's that. Maybe I'm just old and not
cool.
Yeah,
exactly.
But we
didn't
tell the truth though.
But
our stuff was actually good.
But we didn't listen to them when they said, hey, this Chingy guy's not good.
Right.
We didn't listen. Right there.
I mean, I was listening.
And now I'm like, my mom was right.
It's like the older, like when you're so young, you care about everything. And then as you get older, your playlist slowly goes from like 96 to like 2005. And it just stays there.
We ask this question like amongst ourselves all the time. We actually like to hang out and put up YouTube videos. Like, what's a song back like when you were like in high school that you was pushing it, that was your song, look back and you're like, that ain't it.
Man, we definitely
what song was. Any genre, like it don't have to be hip-hop.
I know.
What song?
We just did this the other day.
We do this every week.
Because we're like, play a song that like gets you dancing, and he put on like the lamest.
No, Moose put on like new metal from like 2006. I was
first
like,
off,
what are you doing?
Disclaimer: I forgot to mention that this man and this woman live with Moose now, so there's several Moose chairs scattered around the home.
It could be a reality show. I tell her all the time, like our living situation has so much hijinks that like it could be a TV show on Bravo.
The power of moose.
I want to hear stories about this. Now that I know this, I'm
going
to talk to you with the people.
We got some stories.
Is there a story that you can mention here?
Yes, all right. And you know what? The only reason I'm going to mention it is because like he tweeted about it, so it's not like I'm releasing new information out here. But this man, Moose, he got robbed twice in the same week.
By the same people?
Probably.
All
right.
I wouldn't.
So,
wouldn't put it back.
I'm back.
So he's got a morning ritual where he likes to wake up and go to Wawa pretty much first thing in the morning. He gets up, goes out the door, comes right back in the door. He's like, you're not gonna believe this. He's like, wait, hold on. I gotta do my Moose voice. Dude, you're not gonna believe this. I got robbed. I'm like, whoa. Moose
up early with that much energy to rob anybody.
Yeah,
this could have happened in the middle of the night.
We're not sure.
Okay. But what happened was Moose leaves or left. I'm sure he doesn't do it now. I hope not. Moose left his wallet in the center console of his car.
Unlocked.
And he leaves his car unlocked. So they just opened the door, took his wallet. You know, like straight up. They didn't have to break a window or nothing.
Hold on, I called him.
And it's a nice car.
And when you see the guy leaving the car, you're like, oh, I can get him.
Bro, we got $400. Put it right back on the dad.
So this happens.
He doesn't turn the car off either, so he could have lost his car. I travel with Moose. He leaves the car running.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, he pulls up like in the front of a grocery store and just literally gets out. Like he doesn't even use a parking spot. Like he's just a VIP. Yeah. I'm like, oh okay, like this is
fine. Yes.
Yeah.
No, like I got a couple Moose stories, but this one was funny. Like, this one, we were living on the other side of this apartment complex or whatever. And apparently throughout the night, a bunch of cars were broken into. Apparently there was 25 cars that got their windows broken and stuff. And ours was one of them at the time.
Mm.
And so Moose, same ritual, gets up in the morning. He wasn't going to Wawa. God forbid where he's going. But he wakes up, drives, leaves or whatever. I get a call in the morning. He's like, hey, yo, I think your car got broken into, yo. I go out to the car. It's just smashed window. I'm like, what do you think? Of course it got broken into. It's like smashed and shattered. What do you think?
Yeah.
And like, they ruffled through like the middle console. I don't keep anything. I don't like to keep anything.
Yeah, same.
Or anything. So they just ruffled through it and they left. But it's just an inconvenience to get a broken window fixed.
Yeah.
Moose story number two, I was chilling at Sammy Callahan's house at the time when he was living like 15 minutes up the street from me. Moose was at the house. I'm sitting there, we're hanging out. He calls me, not text me, calls me. Moose is a caller. He likes to call people.
A lot.
Yeah.
For menial tasks.
I respect that, actually. It's old school. It's old school, and I like
menial tasks. The menial of tasks. Like, sidebar. I was in my room. He was in the living room. He called me to come out to the living room. He called me from the other room to come out to
That's
the
okay.
Living.
She did that to me today.
I
had a migraine, and it was really, really, like...
That's the lady. She can get away with that stuff. Grown man, Moose, named Moose, can't get away with that. Anyway, so he's like, yo, can you bring me a water? A water? When you getting back? I'm not coming back for a while, Moose. He's like, it wasn't like a case of water. Oh, individual water.
Yes.
I'm like, yo, but like, I was like, just get up and go to the 7-Eleven, which is right around the corner. He goes, no, like, I don't want to lose my parking spot.
Valid.
I'm like, okay. I was like, all right. Then walk. It's like literally out of the freaking complex and across the street. He's like,
no,
my toe hurts.
Yeah.
Door.
What is toe?
His toe hurts.
Oh, poor baby.
My toe hurts. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't help you, bro. He's like, I hate you. That was a conversation.
Yeah. Did you end up bringing him water?
No!
Yeah. Or did he go get water?
He shouldn't need water at 1 a.m. I imagine walking. Now, in my mind, if I had this work out perfectly, I would have walked in, and he would just been in the living room with a dry tongue. Like,
yep.
His hookah?
I need a toe drink of water. That would have been ideal.
That's why he's got the dry tongue. This man is constantly dehydrated.
That's why the tongue's out.
We get it now. Like,
yeah.
Oh man.
So you would think you would think after getting his wallet stolen out the car, he would at least lock the door. Nah, 2 days later, Z, you're not gonna believe what happened. My headphones got stolen. Where's the headphones? In the car. Still unlocking the doors.
Jeez.
I know. Twice in 1 week.
In 1 week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he has a nice car too, so people might be attracted to that. Especially thieves.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They steal.
Hey, what do thieves do?
Steal.
Yeah.
Apparently from Moose.
2 + 2 = 5 to Moose sometimes. Oh, yeah. So we didn't get to talk about 21? Shot lately.
Hot Shot. Right.
Yes.
So, in the pro wrestling game, you have the perfect job.
Yeah.
To be in.
I love my job.
You have the perfect job to be in pro wrestling. Tell them what you do.
I'm a flight attendant for your
airline?
United Airlines.
She get all of her bookings. Get all of them.
Ooh. So
it's always in the news, though. It's never like the nice airline. It ain't like Southwest. You know.
Man, I said that.
They can't suck out the airplane, and everyone still loves Southwest.
Everyone still loves Southwest because the bags are free.
Yeah.
So that's what the compartment is for the bags that people need on trips. Why are we paying for them?
I don't trust people in airports with no bags.
True.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going?
Why are you here? Yeah, right. What's your business here?
Where your toothbrush?
Yeah.
What's your business here? That's like people going to class with no books.
Yeah.
Yeah, you here to learn? What you here to do? Sit here and listen?
Yeah, you ain't going to be here long.
Yeah, family even got a book bag. You got a laptop bag.
Like, right, he just coming in there with a remote. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. What's this?
A satchel. I brought a pencil. To write on what?
They only got one button.
Oh,
I don't trust that. So how much are you traveling throughout the week?
It's like monthly for me. My schedule is either I can work for like, I don't know. I don't like doing 4-day trips. Those are kind of intense. But international is like a 3-day trip. One leg there, layover for about 24 hours and then come back. So, yeah.
So it's nice. When he was on Independence and he was traveling on the weekends.
Yeah.
Like how often were y'all seeing each other at the time?
I would work during the week, so then I could be with you on the weekends.
Yeah, well, like shortly after we met at the Lucha practice, she ended up going to train at Lance Storms.
Oh, yeah.
So she was gone for like 3 months.
Yeah, I took a 4-month leave, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fun. But Calgary isn't the best city I've ever been to. Banff was awesome when you came to visit, but
cold.
It was freezing. It was and bad. I drove from Pittsburgh.
You know, it's cold Canada. All of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, above the equator for me, it's just
How was the weather in England over the weekend? Because the weather
it's kind of rainy.
Yeah,
it's just rainy.
It's always rainy there.
Cold. That's what it was. It was like Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to think of
leave
it.
Leave my city alone.
No, tell them leave the rain alone.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the rain alone, they can't. Move Seattle. But anyway, so managing the relationship when you're both are travel junkies at this point.
Yeah.
So y'all don't have the time y'all didn't have the time to just be home. Really. Y'all had to just, in order to see each other, we had to travel again, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard those 3 months when she was in Canada. I did come up to visit her once. I think she came back a couple of times when she had a weekend off or something. But it was one of those deals where it was like, that 3 months that we were apart was like either going to like make or break us, you know what I'm saying?
Because
it's like a new relationship and like we're not going to see each other for like literally months. And it worked out. We talked every day and like, you know, stayed in contact, stayed close. And then it was pretty much as soon as she got back, it was very much like I'd do a show in like New York and Boston and she'd come fly out to New York and then like she'd be with me the whole weekend. And that just kind of led to her staying with me a lot in Chicago when I was back home during the week. She'd come to Lucha practice, stay with me, then come with me on the weekends for my shows. And we did that a lot until she just ended up moving in. And she's been with me since 2017.
About that. So you guys come from, you know, seeing each other, you know, when she can. So how did that transition go from like you guys seeing each other when you can, like seeing each other every single day? How's that transition? Like, was it, adjustment of?
What? Us seeing every day?
Yeah.
Oh my God. We're
keep
like, we're the weirdest people. We never get sick of each other. Like, I feel like we're like so, we're like the female and male version of one another. So it's like.
So you're like very much alike.
It's so weird. Like, I never thought I would meet someone who would, like, stop me from being crazy. And, like, I was wild. Like, I was a wild, wild girl.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
And then I meet him, and I'm like, oh, crazy meet crazy.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we're both, like, equally wild. Like, her crazy match my crazy it's kind of thing.
Crazy.
And,
would you say she's Joaquin wild?
Yeah. I'm wild for the wild.
Yeah. She's wild for the wild. I like that.
It writes itself.
It's weird.
You guys are best friends.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Best friends. You know, we don't, like, people think they're like, oh, yeah, you guys are, like, in a honeymoon phase. That's what y'all are. Like, this is like, yo, this has been a 2-year honeymoon phase. Like, we're staying. It's a permanent honeymoon.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I never thought I could be, like, around someone for so long and never, like, want to kill them or, like... He's cool. Like, he's just so fun and, like...
You guys probably got good communication. Then.
Dude, we've been like that. I mean, at the beginning was just kind of like...
Yeah, we started in a good place, though, because, like... I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. Before her, I was never, like, truly 100% honest with, like, any girl that I had been with. Like, I was always kind of like a fake version of myself, or like a watered down version of myself. But with her, the first time I met her, for some reason, like, there was some connection, and I just, like, felt like being, like, completely, like, open and honest with her, like, from the very beginning. And I think that, like, helped our situation a lot, because we didn't, like, come into this, like,
wanting this.
Being two-faced. Yeah. You know, we were both very upfront and honest about our past and, like, who we were.
I know. I was like, it kind of just hit me out of nowhere. It just hits you. Yeah. When you know, you know. I'm like, you know. That's exactly like,
how I feel about my husband. Yeah. You're like, oh, well, okay, this is what we're doing then. All yeah.
Right. This is, like, right. Let's not stop doing this.
Lumbar checks you. You're kind of the one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was love.
Yeah. Usually they say, you know, if a man, like you said, you're speaking about your past, you're saying your past with other women. Usually they say, if a man is willing to not be a mystery around you, he really likes you. He really wants to be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, a lot of us are trying to keep a little mysterious around us, around women. But yeah. If we really, really like you, we'll just be open book. Yeah. And just, you know.
You think, like, for me, I know, like, in my past, like, I had, like, me, I'm, like, when I open up, I'm, like, open. And I'm, like, not who I showcase as far as, like, being the wrestler or whatever I am. And I felt I had a lot of insecurities about opening up.
Sure.
Fully. And, like, I'm pretty sure at some, like, that you had that at some point. Women have that, men have it. But, like, when you're in this spotlight as being a, presenting yourself to social media as, like, your wrestling persona and all that stuff, I feel like women have a different perspective of what they're going to see from you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I have issues with that. So it's like, well, because when I'm, like, let my guard down, I'm, like, I'm very chill. I'm kind of nerdy. I'm kind of, like, whatever. Like, I like a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah, sure.
You know? And, yeah, like, same, so, like, oh, same. Ooh, you yeah. are not Shane Strickland. Ooh, oh, ooh, you are not Isaiah. Ooh, bye. Mm, and that turned me off from opening up for yeah. quite a while.
Dude, I feel that. Like, you know, dude, I mean? There was a couple times, like, before I met her where I'd go out with a girl and, like, she was, like, so into, like, how many followers I had.
Yeah, that's
and,
weird,
like,
right?
I, it, like, yeah, it kind of turned me off, actually, you know? Yeah, it was, like there's one time a girl was, like, calling her friend. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm hanging out with this guy. He's got, like, 20,000 followers at the time. And I was just like, ew.
Like, how many followers I got now?
Right? Isn't it such a relief that you found someone who,
Honestly, I'm surprised because, like, yeah. I tell her all the time, I had pretty much accepted the fact, before I met her, I had accepted the fact that, okay, I'm just, like, a novelty. Like, a girl, like, will see me and then want to, like, be with me for, like, a night, but I'm not somebody that she's going to bring home to introduce exactly. to, like, mom and dad. And I had accepted that, okay, that's just me. Like, that's who I am, and that's cool. I can accept it. Then I met her and everything changed. Like, my whole world got flipped upside down. For the better.
Yeah.
It's almost like seeing, like, they see you as Superman for so long, but then they start seeing Clark. And yeah. then you're not as cool anymore.
Right.
Because, like, but then you found someone that just, no matter what, you're Superman. You make your mistakes, you're always going to be Superman.
Oh, yeah, that's cool,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I feel like everything relates always back to wrestling. Just like, you're just, like, settled and, like, okay, you finally come to terms with it. It's the same in wrestling. When you finally, like, almost give up, that's when, like, you get that break.
Mm-hmm. That's my story, for sure.
Yeah. Like, oh, here we go. Yeah. Like, this is, all right, wasn't looking for this, but this is what I got now.
Exactly.
And it becomes the most amazing thing of all your life.
For sure.
Such an amazing journey.
Man.
I'm happy you guys found each
Thank
other.
Thank you.
Everyone says that a lot, and it's great.
We've
like,
been saying that for years now. Come on.
It's cool. Because, like, I'm glad people get to see
that.
It's a
great thing.
It's awesome.
Trust me, I feel like the luckiest girl in the world. And she probably feels the exact
exactly.
same way.
I want everyone to have that.
Yeah, you want everyone to have that love.
Yes.
Yell at your children. Child. It sounds like children out there.
Well, that's what happens when you have two very gifted athletes who come together and make one of the most perfect human beings on this earth.
Exactly.
My baby.
I love her. I swear. I'll take care of her.
Okay, one of the smartest human beings on this
earth. Lord Jesus. I can't. I'm not ready for our children to collab with her. Oh, my God. It's too much brain power.
Yeah.
It's too many girls. Too much brain power. I'm scared of it.
I don't want to think about it. I gotta put my thinking cap on that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know on here we like to talk about, like, going through struggles in our lives and our careers and everything. And what we like to do, we like to pretty much talk about our struggles, like the deepest points of like our career that we had to struggle and get out of.
Oh yeah, for sure.
like
I've had a few of those.
Oh bro. When I heard about them,
yeah, it's been a weird journey for me in wrestling. It's been interesting. There was like a long period where I just felt like I was on top of the world for a while. Like when I was in like Impact, like I was making great money and I was like on the road every weekend. Like I felt like a real like professional wrestler at that time, and I started getting a little comfortable. It was like the first time I was making like big money in wrestling, big money for me anyway. And I just was wilding out, just like, mm-hmm. dude, I partied for like 2 or 3 straight years, and it got to a point where like my wrestling, like my quality of work, had kind of taken a back seat. I felt like, which sounds like kind of a cliche like type thing, but that's kind of how it was. Like I started getting more into like just being comfortable as the manager of the Bromans and like
right.
comedy type wrestler, and I just like wasn't really applying myself or pushing myself or being the best wrestler or the best version of me that I possibly could be. And it got to a point where like Impact lost Spike TV, and when we lost Spike TV, we lost our guaranteed money, and that's when like reality hit me, where it's like, damn, I could have been saving money like all this time that I was making it. Instead, I was just partying and living for the moment.
Right.
Now we lost our contracts, and I have nothing to show for it. Like, what
that's
am I gonna
scary,
do?
Scary, scary yeah. thing, man.
Yeah. So that happened, and it was like, well, you can either get a real job now and just wrestle on the side, or if you want to keep wrestling as your sole income, might need to make some changes in your life. So I got like really committed to wrestling and then to like nutrition and to my body, and just like went super hard. I'm like, let's just like see what happens if I like give up the partying and like give up all the distractions. Let's see what happens if I just apply myself to wrestling. And I had like the best year of my career in like 2016 when I did that. And I'm like, oh my God, like my hard work's paying off. And like, just as we were hitting like this peak in like my quality of work and my body, just in my confidence in the ring, my stomach exploded in Mexico and I almost died. And it was like so difficult because it took me a long time to get to that place, you know, of like confidence and
right.
With everything, you know. And it's like to lose it, and not just like lose it, but like never possibly doing it again, because there was a chance that I wasn't coming back from this. Like, this happened, and I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to wrestle again, or if I was able to wrestle again, would I be the same quality wrestler that I was? Would anybody like want to sign me to a contract when I have this giant scar going down my stomach? Like, was anyone willing to like take a chance on the like, I guess the mental health issues that I developed afterwards too, where I like developed anxiety like real bad, and so there's like all this like, all this like uncertainty and all this doubt, and in spite of that, like I just kept pursuing wrestling and like working harder and trying to get better, and like somehow I like came back from that injury like better than before it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I started getting injuries at this point too. It's like going harder in the ring like every single weekend on the independents, y'all know, like, you know, it's physically demanding on your body, especially if you're on these AAW shows, for example, where
yeah.
like they want like banger matches, and that's great, but when you have to have a banger match Friday, Saturday, Sunday, recover during the week, and then do it again Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's like,
you better grab a hole.
Yeah, right.
Bro, submission moves became my best friend.
Yeah,
like, you
you're
know,
smart for that.
But dude, like the anxiety of that is just like, you don't have that comfort anymore.
Yeah.
Like, especially being on the independents, when you're level, like when you're signed to a contract and like with, on TV and stuff, and when your level of your the expectations of you, it kind of sinks, but you can still like kind of be within the company, like,
oh yeah,
in independent wrestling, your quality of what you're putting out in the ring,
yeah,
putting out in the world starts dropping. they're going to find somebody else.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like it's a weird thing. It's like a blessing and a curse. Like the independence, I wouldn't trade my time there. Much like I'm sure same with you. Like I wouldn't trade my time for anything because it made me like the type of wrestler I am today. But at the same time, it's like, dude, it is like just so physically demanding, and like my body just started getting eaten alive from it. You know, just taking those risks weekend after weekend after weekend, like. Injuries started piling up, you know, like we're banged up and still got to do it, still got to perform. And yeah, it was hard, man. And I got to a point where like I started getting banged up so much the last couple years that it's like, how much longer are we going to like keep doing this, you know? And I promised her, I promised my family, I'm like, 2019, if I don't end up signing like a major wrestling contract like this year, like I'm done. Like I'm going to do something else with my life. Like I'll still wrestle like for fun, but I'm not gonna like be all in on wrestling if something doesn't pop off in 2019, especially with all the opportunities, you know, that I said that. And like 2 weeks into the new year is like when I got my like offer from WWE. So it was like, man, it was just such a good feeling, you know. It's like you were saying, like we're just about like to give up, and then like that's when it happens.
Absolutely. You were asking yourself all those questions, like especially like when you had like your stomach, your colon scare.
Yeah,
I completely relate. Like I have Crohn's.
Oh yeah, so you have Crohn's. Yeah, oh. Yeah, they thought that's what I had for a minute too.
So, like,
yeah,
I had the same scar. Yeah, and, like, you know, and of course on the female side, having a scar is like, wait a minute.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No character.
Right, like not knowing whether you can bump or not, or is somebody going to sign you when you do have stomach issues, something that's like, it's not curable, and you know, it's an invisible disease, and it could just like come up at any time and at any moment, you know. And then the depression, the anxiety.
Oh yeah.
You know, I have PTSD, so it's like a lot of things like going on with you. So I feel that struggle as you went through, where it's just like you're like downtrodden, and you just keep getting like hit and beat down, and injuries are popping up, you're stiffening up.
Oh, I know,
like,
yeah.
When is it going to end? Exactly.
Very much that, yeah.
Like, that's just a mountain of anxiety. Like, is there anxieties that you go through, like on the music side of things, man?
Oh my God, yes, dude. Like that's actually good, great question. That leads me back to what I just recently was going through. Like, when I was just speaking on the opening of the podcast, like, sometimes you put so much pressure on yourself. Siren has known me for almost 10 years now. And just seeing me from where I started to where I am now, just seeing, like, the battles and stuff that you go through, like, as a musician, like, the reason why, like, I started getting back into peak shape is because I'm starting to, when I do, like, a little small tour with my friends, just going out there doing the things, I don't have to be on stage for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do that, I have to be, my wind has to be right.
Sure.
So every other day, I'm on my bike for 2 hours, just making sure, you know, it's getting right. But, you know, you put so much pressure on yourself. So much pressure. You put out a song and it doesn't do what you think it's going to do. Or, you know, you're in the studio, you got this one song and it doesn't work out. Luckily, working with Swerve on music has actually just, I don't think about none of that. Yeah. This is not just me.
Sounds like he kind of brought some of the fun back for you.
I say that to him all the time. Yeah. He brought life back into my music. My music was, that was not, I can honestly say I was not feeling it for a long time.
It was the same thing how you're feeling about like when you were managing, like you just felt like you're just coasting.
Yeah, you got comfortable. That happens.
And he pushed me. He pushes me to try something different, but it also gives me another spark. And they go through the anxiety, and that was part of the reason. Like I talked to everybody on the team, person on the personal level, and I talked to everyone separately just about some of the stuff that I was going through. And you know, you can just put this pressure on yourself. You just want to get there. You want to do this. You want to do that. And you start comparing. You don't want to compare yourself to other people.
Yeah, it's natural that you're
But you scroll down social media,
or
you look at your contemporaries, or you look at other things in the world, and you just can't help it sometimes. So it's almost like a mental block to say, look, my journey is different from this, you know.
And obviously they're only sharing, like, the good parts. You know, you're not going to see their struggles on social media. Everyone's got them. Like, I remember sometimes towards the end of, like, our independent runs, like, just feeling so banged up and wondering how, like, guys like you and this guy and that guy, like, were doing the same thing I was, but y'all seem totally healthy, totally fine. And it's like, I remember talking to somebody at a show, and
kind of like mentioning that, and he was like, "Oh, bro, I'm not fine at all. Like, I'm banged up here, here, here."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, you too." And then I talked to more people about it, and it's like, "Oh no, we're all going through it. We just don't talk about it."
How many things people have to do in order, like, there's. Chiropractor.
There's a lot of maintenance. Man, the older you get, there was a lot of maintenance.
Like, it's a lot.
And everybody's pain tolerance is just so high, we kind of, like, don't realize something's wrong with us.
Yeah.
When, like...
Part of me, thank God for Crohn's, because, man, that's caused my pain tolerance to be sky high. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I get into my little pain zone, I'm like, all right, this I can deal with. I know what a 9 feels like in real life. Like,
It's terrifying, because it's like, dude, like... I've heard so many stories, like, people, like, walking on broken femurs for weeks because their pain tolerance is so high.
Dude, you heard of that guy, David Goggins?
No.
Oh, man. Y'all gotta...
Shout out, Dave.
Y'all gotta look this guy up on YouTube. He's incredible. Like, I've been reading his book. He's like... You know about him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, he's like a Navy SEAL who's just become, like, this... it sounds like kind of cheesy when you say that this dude's like a motivational guy, but it's like, he is, but in like the best way possible. You can tell it's like, this dude's not like a gimmick. He's not trying to push an agenda necessarily. It's like, it's his story, and like his results are based on his experience. And yeah, this dude would run like 24-hour marathons, and he'd end up like having like a broken ankle or sprained ankle and just keep going. Like, this dude's nuts. He's like... piss his pants and like still going.
I've had drill sergeants back when I was in the military tell me stories about that. Sitting in one spot in the mud with bugs crawling over them for like days.
And they bet not move.
You can't move. They don't move.
That's crazy.
Like, does any of this stuff worry you about like having the injuries or anything like that? Like,
no.
It worries. Yo, listen, it worries me. I'm sure Cedric could probably speak on this too. It's like, especially because she wants to be like a high flyer, and she can do all that stuff. And it's like, listen, on one hand, of course, like, I will support her whatever she wants to do. If she wants to go hard with wrestling and do this every weekend, it's like, yeah, I'm your number one fan. But like, at the same time, this is like the future mother of my children here. So the idea of her like taking Canadian destroyers and like getting dropped on her head and
from like you people that you're not familiar with too.
Yeah. Just the trust, because I don't know, like it makes me nervous because it's like I don't want to see her get hurt, you know.
It's like it's never gonna go away. I got chewed out immediately after my Young Classic when I went up to the top and took a Spanish flag to the top, and he was just like, "I saw you get up there." He's like, "I hope the camera caught it." He just immediately went like, "You do it, Harry. You kicked down from me. It's like you are a mother.
It's like
you have a family.
Right.
It's like
right here.
It's like you're joining the circus and you want to be part of the acrobats. And I'm like, please be a clown.
Right.
Oh. Clowns are down here. Just be a clown.
Yeah. No elephant.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Every time I get on a plane, I take that risk. But something can happen. Oh, you never know. Why, you know. Wrestling's just fun.
It's fun.
It is. Fun. It's a good outlet.
It is fun. Yay.
It is fun.
So maybe we just keep that at like a fun level for her. You know, we don't let her get too deep into it.
Right.
Like,
we're just going to write down a list of people that will catch you.
Yeah.
And then you just go from there.
I'm cool with that.
Like, Flatbush Zombie shouted us out saying, like, I was talking to Eric from Flatbush. He was like, I like the fact that y'all are doing this music because it's fun. It's fun for y'all still. You don't want to get in our side where we have to worry about A&Rs and...
That's the part where you got to. Oh,
my God. He's like, I was on the record label and I got dropped from a label. So I could just, like, just imagine, like, it took a whole reconstruction of that when I was younger to leave that and to get out the paperwork, to go on my own, to now be with my bro, and to get that fun again. I do not want to go back where they're at.
I'm cool here. Having to get a song released by this deadline, and you got to get 8 other people on the song at the same, mixed, mastered, all this stuff. He's like, no. He's like, just keep it fun. I like hearing listening to y'all because it's fun still.
Yeah.
Y'all look like y'all having fun.
Yeah.
You don't want to be where we're at. So that's what we see when we see you. We're like, oh, she's having fun. Keep it at fun level.
Yeah.
So as long as you can.
Yeah.
Bro, I'd be in the studio, bro, and I'd be like, he's killing me on this track. I'd be so happy.
Wait, he's killing me on the track.
I'd be like, it feels so good. Because I'm not thinking about that.
Yeah.
When you get like other people in the ride, you know, you're like, oh, God.
You're like,
yeah. But,
and he knows about his mama?
I'm going to
put that in there.
Like, he's coming in, he'll go in the studio, he'll just spit. And I was like, I'm like, yes. I just got to write my part. I just be like,
That's got to be a good feeling too, you know? It's like,
because I didn't do anything before him. He helped me. Like, that was something I was always wanted to do it, but I never thought I was good enough or like had the capabilities of it. And he brought that out of me.
Nah, he's the GOAT, bro. He's the GOAT now, though.
I did 3 songs on the GOAT.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Especially in this day.
We ain't gonna talk about the tracks that I just like, I'm never gonna see the daylight. The experimental tracks. We ain't gonna talk about
those. We ain't gonna talk about
That's
like your first couple matches. We don't talk about Fight Club. We don't talk about that. Nobody talk about their first couple matches. We don't talk about
Browns or wrestling.
I ain't gonna tell you where to find my first match. Don't look, we ain't gonna talk about it.
On it.
Okay, you find it if you want to.
On it. On it. Cedric, where it at? But yeah, so we're gonna close this episode, episode 11, featuring Joaquin Wilde and Hot Shot.
Like Hot Shots Golf.
Tell them where they can find you on social media, man.
Go ahead.
Hot Shot. Yeah. On Instagram, hot.shot. My last name is S-C-H-O-T-T, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you can't find it for some reason, just follow Joaquin Wilde. Hopefully you can spell that. Joaquin Wilde _ on Instagram.
Joaquin is a very popular name at the moment. So.
Man, you know what?
Saw that today.
Thank God for the Joker, because this whole time I thought Joaquin Phoenix was famous enough that people would see that spelling and be like, oh, it says Joaquin. Nah.
Now,
Joaquin, Joe Queen, like,
I'm pretty sure I got a couple Joaquin cousins. Yeah.
I know a Joe Kim, so I can.
I've gotten that. Yeah,
I know a Joe Kim.
So hopefully,
spell the exact same as that.
Jacqueline.
Hopefully, Joker movie does really well and just spreads the awareness on the spelling of Joaquin.
Yeah.
Joaquin.
And you know what it is, TZ over here.
TZ Scott, man. Instagram, Twitter, everything in that nature. You can follow me. You know, make sure you guys follow the page. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good things coming. We got some great music coming with me and the bro, too. So make sure you guys do that. And also, bro, I need a beat, bro. So
I got you.
Okay.
Need a beat. And, yeah. Oh, what are we going to do about these songs, the playlist that we had from the Patreon that we had posted?
It's going to be an exclusive playlist.
All right.
Yeah. Exclusive playlist on Patreon. Exclusive
playlist. And actually, what we're going to do, we're going to get a couple songs from these two that are going to be on the playlist as well.
That's a fact.
Boom. Y'all going to hook us up with 3 songs that y'all are listening to right now that are your favorite 3 songs currently.
Okay. Yeah.
That came out this year.
Got it.
Boom. So I need 3 from you, 3 from you. Awesome. The only way you're going to hear or see, know what they came up with is to subscribe to the Patreon. Patreon.com/SwerveCityPodcast. And as always, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
Where are you gonna get that pop?
I hate the show.